You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 384 of Locked On Raptors for Monday, September 24th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. You can find links to every single episode. And, of course, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network, team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams. If you're a fan of an NBA team, 28 of those teams had media days today on Monday, so make sure you're checking out the corresponding Locked On show for all the teams you care about. Dan Reynolds' face is confused. The Mavs and Sixers had a media day on Friday because they're going overseas or something. Now I lost my train of thought because of your crazy face there. Locked On Podcast Network. Find a show you like, subscribe, rate, review. It's the best way to support all the shows, all the NBA, NFL, college shows, and MLB as well. If you're a fan of a team coming up on the playoff race and the playoffs in a couple weeks here, make sure you're checking out the corresponding Locked On MLB show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, all the places you get your podcasts. All right, guys, we're here. It's real.
It is very real.
Kawhi Leonard is a Raptor. He's been photographed as such. He smiled a little bit. He laughed. He made a joke at Doug Smith's expense because he couldn't find him in the crowd. Doug Smith's back. That's also great news. Mm-hmm. It's just a good, positive day here at Scotiabank Arena, which is new.
Yes. That takes some time to get used to.
Yeah. By the way, I'm here with Dan Reynolds from Raptors HQ.
Are you going to introduce us?
And Ed Vivek Jacob. You know him as a regular contributor to the show. Dan hasn't been on since like last season, so
that's right. It's been
a
while.
Nice to have him back. We're here talking about media day.
Should we also announce where you can also find the show today?
Oh, yeah. You can find the podcast on RaptorsHQ.com as long as I don't get yelled at by the bosses for the next little while here.
No one's going to get me yelled at nobody.
Yeah, I think we're all good. So, Locked On Raptors. There's not going to be a headquarters podcast anymore, as we kind of talked about.
For Raptors
HQ listeners back in, I guess, June was the last time we did a show. But we're going to have Locked On Raptors hosted on RaptorsHQ.com for the foreseeable future, which is great. And if you haven't listened to the show before, please subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. So now that we got the shilling out of the way,
gotta do it.
Let's talk about media day. Kawhi Leonard once again is a Raptor. Nick Nurse talked for the first time.
He's also a fun guy.
Kawhi Leonard's first words as a Raptor: "I'm a fun guy."
You couldn't have scripted better. We're all sitting there. The place is packed. The cameras are ready. There were people.
There's like random fans that apparently were allowed entry.
Smart. No, the thing is, I didn't look to see, but like, there's a public access area going through there.
Yeah, from Real Sports. Yeah.
So of course you could if you're an astute fan, I guess you could sort of get in the area. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying you should do this. It's obviously the day is over now, but there's clearly a way to get through there. But I mean, to build up all this anticipation, and the first question is, you know, who are you? What is it you want the fans of Toronto to know? And it's, I'm a fun guy. With a straight face. I'm a fun guy.
It was pretty perfect, though. So let's just talk about his intro comments. We'll talk about Danny Green and Masai in a second. Masai, oh my God, what a legend.
Yeah.
He was, once again, the star of the press conference, as he is every time he speaks. But yeah. Kawhi Leonard, what did you guys, Vivek, let's start with you. What did you make of Kawhi's introduction to the Toronto fan base? I thought it seemed pretty much what we would expect, but I don't know. How did you perceive it all?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that stands out and that's sort of been consistent since the trade's been done is that he is very much a basketball junkie. Like, he just wants to be out there on the court playing basketball. You can tell he's sort of jonesing for it, you know, having played just 9 games last year. He talked about, you know, just focusing on the present, not, you know, tripping up thinking about the future. And so I think that bodes well as well, because I think we've talked about this before, where, you know, he really has nothing to gain from just sort of coasting through this season. You know, he wants to show that he's a top 5 player in the league again, that he can play, you know, 70-80 games in a regular season at an elite level, and then carry that over into the postseason. And so, yeah, I think that's the biggest takeaway, that, you know, he just wants to get out there and play basketball.
My biggest takeaway is I feel bad for the poor San Antonio Express news reporter who was sent all the way to Canada to have his two questions, one to Kawhi, one to Nick Nurse, about Kawhi's departure from San Antonio, completely shut down immediately by both of them. I don't know what you were expecting. Antonio Express news assignment editor, but I guess the guy got a trip to Canada out of it. That's cool.
Yeah, to Toronto.
To Toronto.
I mean, obviously there's a story there, and I can understand why they would still want to figure it out, because, you know, in a certain sense, it feels like it makes no sense.
Yeah.
How everything played out. Like, this guy was supposed to be the bedrock of the franchise, of the Spurs moving forward, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. the same time, it's like, as I think Kawhi had a line there, if you're looking past, you're not looking at what's, or you're looking, no, sorry, it was the other way around.
Yeah.
He was looking to the, you're looking too far into the future, you're not noticing what's in the present day. Yeah. It was Masai who was talking about not looking into the past.
Yeah.
So there is this kind of embracing of, like, here we are right now. Obviously, and there were some questions to Kawhi talking about, you know, what do you think about next year? What do you think about sort of like, you know, your contract? And I thought Kawhi handled those questions pretty well, just saying, like, he's commit, as you said, Vivek, you know, he's a basketball junkie. He's here to win.
Yeah.
Much like with Kyle Lowry, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. These guys are coming here, they're professionals, they want to play, and they're not coming out here to get punked. They're coming out here to play and win. And if they're expected to win, then they want to win. And I know, like, a guy like Lowry is smart enough to know and look around and say, yeah, this is a great team. We should be, like, a threat for most of the teams, definitely in the East.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with Kawhi, it comes back to that sort of, I feel like he really is approaching this as, like, he's got to really prove himself to be that sort of top five player. Because, yeah, if he was coming off a really amazing, strong season, well, yeah, there's maybe some of these questions would be much more pronounced, but...
Yeah.
The question now is, like, can he still compete at that high level? I mean, obviously, we hope he can, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I think, like, the line reader in-betweeners on the internet, which, I mean, we're paid line reader in-betweeners this season because of, like, all the sort of stakes that are involved with Kawhi Leonard's season, but, like, you could kind of take what he said, I think, both ways, right? There was a lot of talk about how he's excited about Toronto, it's nice, yada, yada, he's very happy to be here. And then there was talk about, like, I'm taking it one day at a time, not looking too forward to it. And maybe people will look at that and be he's not committed to it this long term. My advice is, as you're probably about to say, just, like, relax with the trying to analyze every single thing he says. And I think that's a good lesson for the entire season, because you can drive yourself crazy trying to take every kernel of Kawhi, every facial expression he has, and trying to parlay that into a prediction for what's going to happen in the future. Just, like, accept that he's on the team now, enjoy it now, and stop trying to read into every little thing, because I know people are out there already trying to do it. I mean, as soon as the first picture of him in a Raptors jersey came out on the NBA Instagram feed, everyone's like, oh, he looks very happy. And it's like, relax. Like, it's one picture, it's Kawhi. He's not the most boisterous guy in the world. I don't know what you're expecting.
I feel like that's so typical of... This is so typical of, like, just... Sorry, I'm not going to talk about the fans, the commentary. It's just that every player is very quick to sort of say, like, it's a cliche, one day at a time thing, but it is kind of like that approach where it's like, you can't be thinking about July, you know, like next July. Yeah. You have to think about what's happening right now. I didn't really get to hear Jonas's presser very much, but he mentioned something like, on paper, they're a very good team.
Yeah.
I mean, they still haven't played a second of basketball.
DeLon said something similar.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we're all very excited, and yes, they should be a very good team, but I mean, let's get them on the practice grid together. That's what Coach Nurse was talking about. Like, it's like, once all this stuff kind of goes away and they get into the gym, then they'll see what they have, and then we can sort of see, we'll see what they have when we actually see them on the court.
And it's kind of funny, because I think a lot of people who have been, like, analyzing the trade since it happened are kind of almost ahead of the curve of where the Raptors... I mean, obviously the Raptors staff has been thinking about this, but Kyle Lowry mentioned in his presser, he hasn't really talked to Nick Nurse since he was hired, because it's the off season and he's got other stuff going on. He's got kids. He's just like...
Yeah.
He's got a good work-life balance going, which I appreciate and admire and strive to achieve. and
in this gig economy?
Yeah. So it's... I think a lot of people have been thinking about this a lot more in depth than maybe the entire Raptors organization has. Obviously, Nurse has been paid to do it, but the players, I think, are coming in sort of fresh-minded.
It's their off-season.
It's kind of a clean canvas for them now, and that now they're just starting to think about these things. So I would say, if people didn't have, like, super well-crafted answers to the questions people have had for the last 2 months, just, like, give it a couple weeks, and maybe they'll start to have them.
And like Masai said, you know, he's not trying to oversell anything.
Yeah.
So why should we? Like, just accept the fact that he's here. We don't have to read into every single thing that Kawhi does. You know, did he wink at someone there? Did he smile at someone here? Did he, you know, put his Raptors jersey on backwards? Who cares? You know,
speaking of which, though, we will have a weekly column probably on Raptors HQ talking about doing exactly that.
I mean, you got to do it for the content. It's fine. It's the content.
In the name, I don't want to spoil anything, but that might be what we're going to be doing.
That's a bit different.
It's okay. In the name of clicks, it's, everything is fine.
But, you know, at the same time, I think for Kawhi being such a basketball junkie, if you're not trying to oversell, you're trying to just show him that it can be just about basketball here, that you can come out here, just do your thing.
Yeah.
Enjoy the city the way you want to enjoy the city. There's lots to enjoy here, obviously. There's lots of food. There's, you know, there's plenty to do with the nightlife.
Let's not get crazy with the nightlife just yet. just want to add two things to that. One is going back to Lowry. I think you hit it on the head there when at USA Basketball when they started asking him. Obviously, they're going to ask him about the trade, but everyone was like, oh my God, he's so cranky, so mad. It's like, look, he doesn't talk to people in the offseason. He said it. And he's definitely not going to talk in that context where he came there to talk about USA Basketball.
DeMar is there.
Yeah. It's like, I get it. You want answers. You want to know how he's feeling. But it's like nothing in Kyle Lowry's history ever has suggested that he would be forthcoming in that venue. And even here, he was definitely sort of cognizant of the fact that he and DeRozan are still friends. DeRozan's not dead. He's still there. They're still buddies. But obviously, the professional context has changed. And the other thing, Masai.
We'll get to Masai in a second. Okay. You're going all over the damn place. The Kyle stuff, people were like, oh man, he's so grumpy all the time. He's not answering. Like, dude, Kyle is one of the smartest people in the NBA.
Yeah.
The dude knows exactly what he's doing. And him being a little bashful with questions that he probably doesn't really want to answer, that's being asked. I mean, the thing I got, and this is not to disparage anyone who's down the hall in the media, but like, it seems like a lot of the questions were either trying to pin him against the idea of the trade and like, you know, I miss DeMar, like, yada, yada. You're trying to like say like, I don't trust the team as much as I did because they made this move. Or the other side of it was trying to pin him against DeMar, right? And I don't think Kyle's in the business of taking a side either way, right? Like he is, much like Kawhi, someone who's just going to come play basketball. And I think if anyone recognizes that this team is better off with Kawhi Leonard on it than they were with DeMar DeRozan, it's Kyle Lowry. He's incredibly smart. He knows what the hell is going on. And I think at the end of the day, he's going to come into the season and just realize, hey, like, this is a better team than I was on last year. That's good for me. That's in my best interest. So people can get all, you know, weird about his grumpiness and standoffishness with questions. But, like, he's not dumb. He's not going to ask – he's not going to answer questions that are, you know –
Beneath him.
Exactly. He's kind of got a standard for what he's going to answer, and I think people framing the questions kind of over and over in the same, the two different ways, I think was kind of grating on him, and like, good on him for not falling into it and sort of just spewing out an answer people wanted to hear.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Like, I mean, when you look at the USA Basketball press conference or scrum when they spoke to him, they asked him, and he said, "Hey, I'm here for USA Basketball.
Yeah.
I'll talk about USA Basketball."
Yeah.
But then when you ask the second question, the third question, the fourth question, who wouldn't get agitated?
I mean,
we saw a bit of that today
with
Masai, which you said we're going to get into.
Yeah, we will for sure because he's a god.
I'm taking off my jacket.
But that's the thing. That's just a normal human reaction.
Mm-hmm.
When you say no to something, it means no. And people should understand that.
Yeah. Kyle's a smart dude. He knows exactly what he's doing. And we can leave that at that. We'll see Kyle be really good at basketball this season. And this little weird sort of media day thing where he was a little grumpy will not seem like anything.
Yep.
Let's talk about Masai. Because
nothing
somehow,
but respect for my president.
Somehow in the press conference in which Kawhi Leonard was introduced after 2 months of questions and wondering when he was going to be introduced, Masai ended up stealing the damn thing, elicited applause from those fans we were talking about
up
top.
That's true.
Because there was a lot of questions that were kind of circling around the idea of the Raptors not being able to keep players, not being an attractive destination, and it was all sort of around the question of Kawhi and the sell job they've undertaken here to try to get him to stay and all this stuff. And Masai, you could tell after four or five versions of the same question, was just like, all right, fuck this. I'm going to say something. And what he said was like, I don't know. If I felt it. It hit me. He was just, he essentially said that narrative is done. Get rid of that narrative. The Toronto's not an unattractive destination anymore. Believe in your city. Believe, have confidence in what they've built. And like, how can you argue against it? And that is what elicited the applause. Masai could sell me anything, man. That dude
It's fascinating because obviously you know, in Toronto, Raptors fans, we sort of expect a certain bit of incredulity from the American media. They sort of, I mean, that's obviously been the long time narrative.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, you can say whatever you want about that, and the USA media sort of always overlooking the Toronto market or the Raptors in particular. It is fascinating, you know, that there is a thread through like Toronto media of like, well, things are always going south. You know, like for a long time it was the Leafs and the Jays were, you know, for bumbling around and who knows what's going on with the Argos or whatever. But the Raptors also were also like bad for a long period of time, yeah. or they were always making bad decisions or things that didn't work.
There is a history of the Raptors being a bad organization that can't attract players.
So I feel like that's fascinating how ingrained that is, and how Masai is sort of saying, like, first off, not that he's not disconnected from that, but it's also like he had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is like 10 years ago is not right now.
Yeah.
So this idea that, like, well, you know, this horror show from this era of the Raptors, like, that's long gone. You're sitting on a world-class city.
Yeah.
And the organization is, I mean, it's built up. The thing I've been saying is they've been building this organization for 5 years since Masai took over, basically for this moment, mm-hmm. to get their hands on a guy who is a top five player, who they can build around, who they can invest in, and who, I mean, would want to be here. Why wouldn't he want to be here?
His track record includes no major free agent ever leaving. Patrick Patterson's like the biggest dude who ever left. Maybe PJ Tucker.
Yeah, well, they...
like, those are the biggest guys who have... Yeah, exactly. That's probably planned for Patrick a little bit. But
PJ kind of hurt a little bit.
PJ hurt, but it's not like they didn't try, and like, that was an attractive situation. But, like, he has not lost a major free agent. He's 2-for-2 bringing back Kyle Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
2-for-2 or 3-for-3? 2-for-2. He brought back DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
He brought back Serge Ibaka. And that...
Fred VanVleet?
Fred VanVleet. He's totally right in that the narrative, it just doesn't apply anymore. Like, this is one of the more attractive teams. This is one of the more stable teams. This is like a team that is like so far removed from what it was in 2012, 2013 that those old narratives just don't apply anymore. And I'm glad Masai finally was just like, all right, let's stop
enough
with this.
Enough.
Like, this isn't 2009 anymore, dude. Like, we don't have to have this inferiority complex anymore, because why should they?
Yeah.
Like, how many teams in the league would look at what the Raptors situation is from city to stability to success and be like, I don't want that. Like, that is, they are one of the more attractive destinations, whether or not, they're not LA, they're not New York.
But what's hilarious is even with that sort of spectrum, like the Paul George situation is the perfect mirror.
Yeah.
It's like, everyone was like, for sure, Paul George is gone. He's going to leave. He signed in Oklahoma City.
The postal code doesn't matter, man. Like, if they, like Vivek alluded to, if they sort of focus on the not being so over the top with the sell job and like catering to his every whim and sort of worrying about this narrative that's always in existence, especially within like the more paranoid fans in the media, that's going to be their best possible pitch. It's like, hey, we don't care about all this stuff. Like, we're a good basketball team. We want to play for our good basketball team, and that's the best pitch you can make to him.
Yeah, and I think one of the coolest parts was when he actually had that mini scrum after the press conference, where
you won't see that on the videotape.
Yeah, exactly. And you know,
he said "fuck Brooklyn" in there.
And you know, someone asked him, "Are you worried at all about, you know, July if this thing goes south, and you know, maybe your job will be on the line?" And I love the way he literally just laughed right in his face and said, "I am going to be a happy, successful person."
Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah.
I don't need this.
Yeah.
That's literally what he said.
One of my biggest fears is that he doesn't need this and will leave one day.
And but that's the thing, right? I think that's something that we can learn from and the fan base can learn from, is just, you know, be secure with what this franchise has become, what this city offers, and what this roster has right now, and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the present right now with a legitimate championship roster, where you have a legitimate superstar and role players to go around it.
And there's a stability there that I feel like the best teams in the last, like, let's say 20 years, they've had that sort of comfort with like ownership and management.
Yep.
And everything is sort of, they don't need to go crazy trying to sell anything. They are who they are.
Yeah.
The best examples, using, like, I mean, Pat Riley maybe lately has been a bit shaky, but he had a great run there where it was like, he was the guy who could sell things. I mean, obviously, they're trying to do that in Los Angeles now with Magic Johnson there, where it's like, here's the thing. When you have a bad ownership situation, you're watching it happen in Minnesota, whatever the hell's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks have been dealing with that for years. Sacramento, where it's like, even if you get a good player, even if you have a sort of world-class talent, you can't just be by nature, never mind selling them on the merits of the city or anything else, the quality of life, you just can't sell them on... You can't show that you're a well-run organization. That means a lot.
Yeah.
It means a lot for morale, and means a lot for sort of just getting along day to day.
I think one of the best ways to describe what Masai's done with the Raptors is, like, he's made the Raptors one of the very few franchises that's not stuck in the eternal loop of overcompensating for your last mistake. Like, they can just be like, all right, yes, Dwayne Casey, that ran its course, but we're not going to go crazy with this hire. We're not going to go totally off the map. Like, we got a guy in-house because we believe in our sort of pipeline of talent that we've produced, and so we can just go with that. A guy who knows people, you maintain some stability that way. Obviously, you know, with, through promoting people within the front office, there's some stability there, even as the job, you know, titles have kind of switched around a little bit. And that's a rarefied air, because so many teams are out there constantly trying to correct their last mistake, and ultimately usually are making a mistake in the process of doing that because they're overcompensating. So the Raptors are not in that
spot. The
Raptors
have been doing, they did that before.
That's what they were. Yeah. That's all they were for the longest time. And Masai, I think his biggest accomplishment is getting them out of that loop, because it's really hard to do that. We talked a lot about Masai and Kawhi and Kyle. Danny Green spoke today. He seems like an awesome dude. Nick Nurse talked.
I got Danny to speak.
What's that?
I got Danny to speak, remember? No one was asking him any questions.
Yeah, poor guy. He was,
he took it very nice.
He was cracking the jokes for being overlooked in the press conference with Kawhi and Masai, which, you know, I can't blame him. But Danny Green spoke, Nick Nurse, Jonas, OG, DeLon, all these guys did little pressers or scrums. Anyone, before we wrap this thing up, anything that interests you today? Anything that you're interested in with any of these particular people over the next couple weeks as the preseason gets going?
Well, Serge, I thought, said some interesting things about his role, because he said he's already spoken with Nurse about what his expectations are going to be next season. So I thought it was interesting to hear him say that he's going to be playing in the low post a bit more, that, you know, he's not going to be picking and popping as much.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a good sign, because, you know, I think when he came over, we saw a lot of the old Serge, where, you know, blocking shots and, you know, even some, you know, dream shakes. And so I think that's a good fit for this Raptors team, which is so abundant in three-point shooting now, where maybe you don't need a Serge to pick and pop as much. You know, you look at last year in terms of the three-point threats, you had Kyle Lowry, you had CJ Miles, you had Fred VanVleet. And then you just needed Serge to give you that volume.
Mm-hmm.
But now with all the guys that you have on the roster that can provide that, you don't need it as much from Serge. So maybe now he finds a role where he can be more effective.
I'm kind of curious if, like, that's the best use of his skills, because he's not a particularly good passer. And just, I mean, obviously we have to see how it all works in practice. But to hear that, because I didn't hear Serge say that. I wasn't at the Serge scrum. But to hear that sort of implies to me, at least, that maybe he's going to be used more as a center as opposed to a power forward, because that's kind of the traditional way Nurse has used Jonas in this offense, you know, from last year, right? Where Jonas would pick and pop sometimes, but not really. He was more of a roll man. He was more of a, you know, work at the elbows, do some dribble handoff stuff. So maybe that sort of is a bit of a clue as to where Serge is going to slot in terms of starter, bench, power forward, center. That could be a little bit of a sign there. But I wonder if that's his best use of his skills, because he's not a very good passer, and he is a good shooter, and it's nice to have that stretch from a big man. He's kind of one of the more interesting, I mean, this whole team is interesting because it's just like dudes with arms and skills everywhere, but Serge's sort of lot in how they play this season and sort of where he fits in terms of role, I think it's going to dictate a lot of, you know, how the rest rotation, of the team looks. So it's going to be sort of the defining thing of the rotation, because you're either going to go, you know, very similar to last season where he starts, and then you maybe have just like a full bench unit. Maybe Greg Monroe fits in a little bit more. Maybe you work in Serge as a backup five in those situations, but it's tough to say. Or maybe he starts at center and we see a whole sort of can of worms open in terms of creativity and versatility in different lineups that Nick Nurse is going to throw out there.
That makes it sound bad. Can of worms is bad.
Worms are good.
Hey, how hungry are you?
Sean's talking himself into cans.
Episode 5 with Sean Woodley and Serge Ibaka. Dan, anything? Sorry, Vivek.
No, I just the one thing I wanted to touch on Serge is, you know, you look at last year, by any measure, it was a disappointment for Serge.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one thing people do lose perspective of is the Raptors as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
It was not supposed to be as easy as they made it look.
Yeah.
When you change over your offense as completely as they did, you could have very easily had DeMar struggle. You could have very easily had Kyle's, you know, initial struggles carry over for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think what you saw from Serge, what you saw from Norm, I think you have to give a bit of leeway there in terms of, you know, not everyone was just going to fit like a glove.
That's been the issue with Serge, I think, in general. He's not the most sort of heady passer. It's interesting then when you talk about a guy like Monroe.
And he's also come from OKC, where he was never challenged to do anything like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the most part, yeah. Like, I mean, obviously he came in as a very springy shot blocker, sort of like finisher, and then adding the three-point shot was like, oh, wow, this is the next evolution. But now the league's moved so fast that all of a sudden he's now, like, behind the curve, which is wild because a couple of years ago he was like the guy. He was like what everyone wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's funny how that worked out. It's tough because obviously the playoffs, it really seemed like he was just, I don't know what happened. Because like a season, I would say he was pretty steady.
And the first two games, he was
right.
So
and that's,
good.
And that's what's funny is that you're sitting there going like, yeah, playoff surge. It was a joke. And then all of a sudden it was like, what happened? Like it just felt like he was out of it and it just lost a step. And I mean, I don't know if that's a comfort thing. I don't know if it's tired legs. I don't know if it's like maybe an injury. Like who knows? But it has always felt like his I don't say basketball IQ, but his awareness of certain reads is a little bit slower. And you can see the same thing with Norm, where he's like definitely like ready to do things, get in there, but like he doesn't always see all the things that are happening. And so you do wonder how that works out, because obviously right now you're looking at like OG and Kawhi, do they both start and surge on off the bench? There's a thing in there that's like he slides into that role easily. It's crazy to consider the fact that then Monroe is like, what, your 11th man, your 10th man?
Yeah. Norm
with
Powell
was
like,
I didn't even
see Norm today.
Yeah,
is he here? Like,
why? He's somewhere. I said that's from specifically. But yeah, it is kind of crazy to consider like how deep the team is. It's interesting in Monroe's case because there are other teams he could have gone to where his role would have been more considerable.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's like, well, I don't know what they promised him, but I mean, obviously Nurse is probably excited to use him in certain ways. He doesn't have any shooting range, but he's definitely a high post player, a passer. He's got some size. I mean, we watched him really work in the post against the Raptors when he was on the Bucks. So it's like he has utility, but at the same time, I mean, when he was on the Celtics last year, his minutes in the playoffs took a huge dive.
Yeah.
And the same thing will happen here because there are only so many ways you can use him.
Yeah.
As JV insurance, he's very good.
That's a nice little replacement. Thing, yeah.
Because last year that was a big problem. If JV ever got hurt, thank goodness it didn't happen. They only had him as a sort of stout center.
Yeah. So. You mentioned sort of the rotation questions and sort of having too many guys. And like Nick Nurse talked about this. He said we have like a lot of guys who can start, which is a good problem to have. He said this kind of in the offseason as well when he first got introduced and when he was talking about who's going to start. I think it's good. The starting lineup thing, people are going to make into a bigger thing than it needs to be, I think. Like, I think it's going to be variable. I talked about this on other shows, so I just want to... But, like, I don't know. There was that from Nurse. Is there anything else from Nurse in particular that interested you today?
I mean, I'm just excited to see... Like, I guess I'm excited to see what he does differently and what he can do differently.
Yeah.
Like this is, like, I don't even know if... Not to say it won't be perceptible, but... Like, I mean, I'm not sitting there poring over every single play call that they make, but I'm interested to see when he talks about sort of the openness within a structure. Like they're gonna have their system, but sort of what he'll allow players to do to sort of be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, he mentioned listening to music, and then Michael Grange had a piece about talking to Nurse, and he had pictures of musicians, Thelonious Monk and Jasmine, B.B. King and blues and stuff. And you get the sense that he's a guy who's like, okay, here's the structure of the system that we're going to put into place, but we know you want to do that. You're open to do that. I'm just curious to know what that will be like in action.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there are some players on here that are that can be creative. There are other guys who I'm like, well, like, you know, like Danny Green, Serge Ibaka, like some of those guys, they have specific roles. I don't want them to be freelancing. But at the same time, I'm interested to see what DeLon can do, or you know, Lowry, what Kawhi is sort of maybe ready to accept in terms of like, Maybe there's more there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so I mean, in that part, I mean, Nurse didn't really. It's interesting how smooth he is already with the media.
Yeah,
he's been around a long time, but now he gets to be his. This is his moment to shine, and he's definitely sort of ready to be like the guy in front of the camera. Which is there's a value to that.
He's certainly not as long-winded as Dwayne Casey. Doesn't have quite the same knack with words that Dwayne Casey.
Oh, he doesn't
had.
Have any folksy adages.
Yeah.
Or not.
No, more folksy.
But it is a valuable skill because if you have a coach, I feel like we've. Obviously, like, you know, every coach comes through, they all address the media. You pick up right away who are the guys that sort of figure out ways to deal with the media in such a way that no one
gets upset by the fact that they're saying nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, they're at least having not a little bit of fun, but they sort of acknowledge this is part of the job and there are ways to talk to everyone because we're all grown-ups here. We're all, you know, where some coaches you sometimes get the distinct impression that they want you to go away.
Leave them
alone. And you're just like... Yeah.
It feels like every coach the Raptors have played against in the last couple of years in the playoffs is like that. Ty Lue.
He was okay, but...
Randy Whitman
was kind of like asleep.
Sad boy. Yeah, not the most charismatic bunch. Like, Nurse, I don't think he's Casey. People aren't going to love his whimsical nature as much as Casey. But, like, he seems like he's got to figure it out. And, like, he was not very divulgent with what he's going to do.
No,
and, like, of course he wasn't going to be, but I think...
I don't know. I feel pretty good about Nick Nurse. I feel pretty good about today. It was a good day.
Media day always is.
Kawhi Leonard is a Raptor. Everything's positive. There's no reason for discontent today.
I took over Raptors HQ for the 2014-15 season, yeah. which was like...
Lou Will.
But that season began with this kind of wave of optimism, and every sort of even the seasons that ended sort of poorly, like that one, or you know the sweeps of the last couple of years, there was still this kind of like we're on the up and up here. Something's going on. You know? Yeah. Now obviously this season would have been very different had they not pulled off the Kawhi trade, but it is interesting to sort of watch how everything has sort of fallen into place. Mm-hmm. And media day is kind of. We were joking on Twitter, like, everyone is very optimistic. Everyone's in the best shape of their life. Everyone's put on 20 pounds of muscle. Everyone is ready to do everything.
I was talking to Bruce Arthur today. He said he's in very good shape. He's been playing basketball all summer. Bruce Arthur's in great shape. Bruce Arthur muscle watch is how we're wrapping this thing up.
He's got a good post game.
He does. He's getting ready for that media game already.
The media game, there's
no way. There's no way.
He was on my team.
Game
and
again,
was,
man. Not after
no,
Megan
not after
McPeak's
Reagan,
Achilles,
yeah.
man.
No, that's not going to happen.
Here's hoping, but no, I don't think that's going to happen.
But there is a wave of optimism, and of course, that's what media day is all about.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 years ago, we were talking ourselves into Jared Sullinger as like the answer for the Raptors.
There was optimism behind that, too.
Yeah, we were very excited. We're very excited, yeah. So, I mean, yes, obviously optimism is always going to be high on media day, but I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Or should I say, Kawhi not? Oh, good night.
Yeah, we'll wrap it there.
I know some of my jokes.
We're going to get some lunch, probably.
Yeah.
And wrap this thing up. Dan, thank you for coming on.
I'm
sure you'll be on some post-game shows at some point this season from after games. Vivek, we didn't announce your big news off the top. You're going to be contributing to The Athletic this season, part of their Raptors coverage, so congrats on that. Where
Thank
can people check out your work? We know Dan's at AK_Reynolds and at Raptors HQ. That's fine.
Thank you.
Vivek, where are you at?
Yeah, I mean, so with Blake gone from Raptors Republic, I'll try to, you know, fill in for at least a tiny iota of the void, because we know it's a huge gaping hole that he's left.
I expect so many spreadsheets of second round or exhibit 10 guys contract figures. You better have that on lock.
All right. I'm gonna need some Excel lessons from Blake for that, but I'm sure he'll be happy to offer his time as he always does. But besides Raptors Republic, you can find me at Sportsnet, The Athletic. I'll try and help out North Pole Hoops when I can. And I think that's enough.
Yeah, this podcast as well.
It's all about the hustle.
You're continuing on your weekly contributorship to the podcast this year as well, which is
thank
very
you
exciting.
For having me and giving me this
so then you'll be on Raptors HQ as well then.
Hell yeah, he will. Wow. Just so just many, so much overlap. It's all one big family. You can find me at Woodley Sean, of course. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Please rate and review. It's the best way to support the show, as always. Also, my sixth part of Ranking Every Raptor is going to be up today at some point. No, it's part six, Dan.
It's part six?
Yeah, it's part six. Wow. Players 60 through 31. We get finally some good players in today's Ranking Every Raptor, and also an Italian dude who people remembered, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And some guest contributions.
A couple of guest contributions from the olds. That's also very helpful.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be up at some point today on Raptors HQ, along with this podcast, and this podcast every day for the rest of the season, I guess, except for days where I get lazy, which we all know tends to happen.
Yeah.
But that's going to do it for today for Media Day. We'll be back again tomorrow at some point, I'm sure. I got a busy day, but I'll try to squeeze a podcast in somewhere. And until then, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors.